Chapter 3. You make good coffee, Jane. Just one of my many talents. Jane took the armchair opposite, settling deep into its comfort. The welcoming aroma of coffee filled her apartment. And you've got a great place here, too. He paused, looking for the right word. Kind of sophisticated. Warm beige walls and wooden floors complemented the chocolate brown cushions on her cream couch. In the diner stood a wooden table with a computer on top, where, he guessed, her literary world became reality for her readers. It's the books that do it. Don't let them fool you. I'm really quite dumb. Dumb? I don't think that's it. He looked at the shelf above her head and spotted hardbacks with her name printed on the spines. The books tell a different story, so to speak. I count four. You keep a copy of every story you write? A little narcissistic, huh? I keep the first printed copy of everyone. It's my thing, my treat. Maybe one day they'll be worth a fortune. She reached up and grabbed a copy of her first novel, A Time, A Place. I don't know what would make me part with them. Here, why don't you have a look? Tim put down his coffee, deliberately wiping his hands on his coat before he took the book from her. I wouldn't worry about clean hands. He looked up, embarrassed at being so obvious. But it's a first copy. Shouldn't it be behind glass or something? Then who'd be able to read it? He quickly read the synopsis on the back cover before acknowledging her picture beneath it. Even though the picture was black and white, it clearly showed off her best assets, her eyes. Cute photo. Anyone I know? That's Carl's thing. He insists on my picture on the back of all my novels. He says he wants readers to see who wrote the words. Me, I think it's the last thing a reader wants to see. I don't know. You're not exactly hard on the eyes. Jane grinned, and her green eyes sparkled. Thanks, but I think the picture was airbrushed a little. I'm under no illusions. Don't be hard on yourself. There aren't too many people who can say they've written a novel. It's a big achievement. It's my job, and I'm immensely proud of my work, but it's just the pictures that are a little one-sided. Carl's not bad, to be honest, but it's his brother Jerry who makes me crazy. Crazy? Tim asked, suddenly crestfallen. In what way does he make you crazy? Are you and he... Let's just say he's not as attractive as he thinks he is, and he's really not my type. Out of curiosity, what would be your type? Shy? She gave a half smile. A little quiet? I like guys who can show me a side to them that they don't show to anyone else. I can be dominant at times, especially with regards to my work, so having a guy around whose dominance is constant and stronger than mine can be a little irritating. Jerry's too full of himself. Confidence, he calls it. Arrogance, I call it. Now there's a fine line. So you like, he paused to search for the right word, submissive men? Not submissive exactly, just not sexed up and in your face. I get enough of that with the Castor brothers, and I've always thought British guys were supposed to be conservative. Although it has to be said I do like a guy to take the lead, show a little initiative, you know the kind of thing. A bit of both worlds, huh? Is that selfish? No, not selfish. He shook his head knowingly. Isn't that what all women want? The best of both worlds? I don't know, Tim. I'm not all women. Suddenly embarrassed, she added. I don't quite know how I got into telling you all my secrets. I'm not normally this open with anybody. Tim nodded emphatically. It's my face. Excuse me? I have one of those faces. What faces? Trusting. People feel at ease with me. Especially women. I get it all the time. It can prove useful during interrogation. They don't expect it. Are you interrogating me right now? She asked, feeling exposed. Maybe. You got something to hide? He gauged her response, then laughed. No, not really. I just don't talk to that many women outside of the police role. For me, to chat is to interrogate, he shrugged. Guess I should brush up on my dating strategies. Jane rolled her eyes. Sure, if you want to date, it would be a good idea. Do you have someone in mind? It was obvious he wasn't used to flirting, but he was trying. And Jane was wrong. He did blush. His fair hair in this light made it all the more prominent. If she knew him better, she would have hugged him, but she hardly knew him at all. Something she was keen to remedy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you. Not at all. He looked down at the book again, giving it a little more attention than necessary. Very little embarrasses me in my job. He might say it, she thought, but his red ears and the scarlet band across his cheeks told her otherwise. You're not on duty now, though, are you? I don't think a cop can ever really be off duty. She squinted. I can't see you as the bad cop, just the good cop. Dale is the bad. Sure, no problem, she quipped. He's got a certain roughness about him. A bit of a bad boy, I think. She creased her face up as if excited at the thought. He huffed. You noticed that. But you seem efficient, schoolboyish. It's as if you're a puppy dog. Way to make a guy feel emasculated, he moaned. Jane giggled. You'd be surprised, you know. He bounced his eyebrows up and down. I didn't mean you weren't macho, you know, like Dale is. She could feel her mouth getting her deeper and deeper into trouble. She should back out now, she told herself, to save face. Shall I just leave now, he said, his expression sour. You know, he's not the kind of guy you'd be interested in. Who says I'm interested in him at all? I merely pointed out the differences between you two as partners. You work well together, for the short time I've seen you both. It's good, it's all good. I sense I'm being watched. You're not going to use me as a character, are you? She shrugged. Who knows? I might just turn you into the hero of the novel. How does that sound? Painful, and probably slightly dull, too. You do want to sell the thing, don't you? I wouldn't exactly call you dull, Tim. You know, you might want to base it on Dale, after all. Maybe I'm not into the action man type. He was right. His face made it so easy to talk to him, bare her feelings. She'd not felt that way with any man before. But he wasn't like any other man she'd ever met. He was nothing at all like the Castors. She tipped her head to one side, eyed him thoughtfully against the lead in her story, and added, Maybe I'm after a good, hard-working guy with a slight inferiority complex. Someone with character, some substance, a spine, persistence in the pursuit of good. Someone not afraid to speak his mind, who'll catch the bad guys one minute and make the heroine's socks fly off the next. Tim laughed loudly. Jesus, that's a pretty tall order. Yep, I think you've definitely had enough for one day. I'm not Superman. He might laugh at her muse, but he was exactly who she was looking for. Sex sold books, Carl was intent on informing her, but she wasn't after the kind of thing Carl was. Jane didn't want a quick fix to her recent loss of earnings. She wanted a character with stamina, someone who could go the whole way and bring the novel to a climactic crescendo, and the next one, and the one after that. Tim had that moral fibre, that personality, and it was up to her to transfer him into her hero figure. Was that the intensity you were talking about before? He went on. Because it's slightly scary. I should probably consider getting away before you begin eating me alive. Consider all you like, Tim. I'm not letting you out of this apartment until you agree to read one of my books, she announced abruptly. She laughed, lightening her somewhat frightening tone. I'm kidding, of course. I'm getting that whole domineering thing, he pointed at her. You like it, or have I scared you off? It's intense, I'll give you that, but I'm still here. Oh, you haven't seen intense. I promise you, you'll know when it happens. I've no doubt. As to the book, I'll happily take a look at one, but don't expect miracles. Rome wasn't built in a day. I've every confidence in my work. If you're not a changed man by the morning, I'll give up my career and become a nun. Now that I really would like to see. Out of interest, which of your novels would you recommend to the newly converted? All of them, she smirked. But I'd go with that one first, looking at the book in his hands. If you begin with the first one, you'll pick up on some regular styles I like to use. Sounds fascinating. Told you. You still want me to read this copy? Your first printed? I feel a little intimidated even touching it. If you want to go buy a copy, no problem, but I'm guessing you won't get to the store this side of Christmas, and then you'll find all kinds of reasons not to bother after. This way, at least I know you're going to take good care of it, and you'll give it your best shot. Good thinking, and crafty. 2 days with me, and already you're scheming. Not bad. I'm a woman. To scheme is to breathe. Tim took his final sip of his coffee and stood, Jane a second behind him. I'll let you know tomorrow evening what I thought of the book, or at least the first chapter. Thanks again for the loan. I'll take good care of it. You're very welcome, and thank you for dropping me home. It was good of you after such a chilling evening. Tim paused at the door. He wanted to kiss her, but decided he should just leave. Keep it professional, he told himself, at least for the week. Afterwards, who knew what would happen? Tim's hesitance transformed into a tight, polite smile, but the awkward silence was broken when she unbolted the door to let him out. Before she opened it fully, a large fist pushed past her, flinging the door so fast open it almost flew off its hinges. Jane gasped instantly while Tim drew his weapon and pointed it at the tall, dark, angry-looking man now standing in front of him.